Chapter 10. The gun was too big for my pocket. For a few hours I tried walking around with it, but I was terrified the thing would discharge down there very near my privates. So I decided to carry it in a ragged leather briefcase my father had given me. For 3 days the briefcase went everywhere, even to lunch. Then I grew weary of that too. After a week, I left the pistol under the seat of my car, and after 3 weeks, I had pretty much forgotten about it. I did not go to the cabin for more target practice, though I did attend a few other goat parties, in which I avoided Chitlin's moonshine and an increasingly aggressive Carlene. The county was quiet, a lull before the frenzy of the trial. The Times said nothing about the case because nothing was happening. The Pagets were still refusing to pledge their land for Danny's bail, so he remained a guest in Sheriff Coley's special cell, watching television, playing cards or checkers, getting plenty of rest, and eating better food than the common inmates. The first week in May, Judge Lupus was back in town, and my thoughts returned to my trusty Smith & Wesson. Lucien Wilbanks had filed a motion requesting a change of venue, and the judge set it for a hearing at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. Half the county was there, it seemed. Certainly most of the regulars from around the square. Baggy and I got to the courtroom early and secured good seats. The defendant's presence was not required, but evidently Sheriff Coley wanted to show him off. They brought him in, handcuffed and wearing new orange coveralls. Everyone looked at me. The power of the press had brought about change.
"It's a setup," Baggy whispered.
"What?"
"They're baiting us into running a picture of Danny in his cute little jail outfit. Then Wilbanks can run back to the judge and claim the jury pool has been poisoned yet again. Don't fall for it."
My naivete shocked me again. Wiley had been positioned outside the jail in another effort to ambush Paget when they loaded him up for court. I could see a large front-page photo of him in his orange coveralls. Lucien Wilbanks entered the courtroom from behind the bench. As usual, he seemed angry and perturbed, as if he had just lost an argument with the judge. He walked to the defense table, tossed down his legal pad, and scanned the crowd. His eyes locked onto me. They narrowed, and his jaws clenched, and I thought he might hop over the bar and attack. His client turned around and began looking too. Someone pointed, and Mr. Danny Paget himself commenced glaring at me as if I might be his next victim. I was having trouble breathing, but I tried to keep calm. Baggy inched away. In the front row behind the defense crowd were several Pagets, all older than Danny. They too joined the staring, and I had never felt so vulnerable. These were violent men who knew nothing but crime, intimidation, leg-breaking, killing. And there I was in the same room with them while they dreamed of ways to cut my throat. A bailiff called us to order, and everybody stood to acknowledge the entrance of His Honor.
"Please be seated," he said.
Lupus scanned the papers while we waited. Then he adjusted his reading glasses and said,
"This is a motion to change venue filed by the defense. Mr. Wilbanks, how many witnesses do you have?"
"Half a dozen, give or take. We'll see how things go."
"And the state?"
A short, round man with no hair and a black suit bounced to his feet and said,
"About the same."
His name was Ernie Gaddis, the longtime part-time district attorney from up in Tyler County.
"I don't want to be here all day," Lupus mumbled, as if he had an afternoon golf game. "Call your first witness, Mr. Wilbanks."
"Mr. Walter Pickard."
The name was unknown to me, which was expected, but Baggy had never heard of him either. During the preliminary questions, it was established that he had lived in Caraway for over 20 years, went to church every Sunday and the Rotary Club every Thursday. For a living, he owned a small furniture factory.
"Must buy lumber from the Pagets," Baggy whispered.
His wife was a schoolteacher. He had coached Little League baseball and worked with the Boy Scouts. Lucien pressed on and did a masterful job of laying the groundwork that Mr. Pickard knew his community well. Caraway was a smaller town 18 miles west of Clanton. Spot had always neglected the place, and we sold very few papers there, and even fewer ads. In my youthful eagerness, I was already contemplating the expansion of my empire. A small weekly in Caraway would sell 1,000 copies, I thought.
"When did you first hear that Miss Castlelaw had been murdered?"
Wilbanks asked.
"Couple of days after it happened," Mr. Pickard said. "News is sometimes slow getting to Caraway."
"Who told you?"
"One of my employees came in with the story. She has a brother who lives around Beach Hill where it happened."
"Did you hear that someone had been arrested for the murder?"
Lucian asked. He prowled around the courtroom like a bored cat, just going through the motions, yet missing nothing.
"Yes, the rumor was that one of the young Pagets had been arrested."
"Did you later confirm this?"
"Yes."
"How?"
"I saw the story in the Ford County Times. There was a large photo of Danny Paget on the front page, right next to a large photo of Rhoda Castlelaw."
"Did you read the reports in the Times?"
"I did."
"And did you form an opinion about Mr. Paget's guilt or innocence?"
"He looked guilty to me. In the photo, he had blood all over his shirt. His face was placed right next to that of the victims, you know, side by side. The headline was huge and said something like, Danny Paget arrested for murder."
"So you assumed he was guilty?"
"It was impossible not to."
"What's been the reaction to the murder in Caraway?"
"Shock and outrage. This is a peaceful county. Serious crimes are rare."
"In your opinion, do folks over there generally believe Danny Paget raped and murdered Rhoda Castlelaw?"
"Yes, especially after the way the newspaper has treated the story."
I could feel stares from all directions, but I kept telling myself that we had done nothing wrong. People suspected Danny Paget because the rotten son of a bitch had committed the crimes.
"In your opinion, can Mr. Paget receive a fair trial in Ford County?"
"No."
"Upon what do you base this opinion?"
"He's already been tried and convicted by the newspaper."
"Do you think your opinion is shared by most of your friends and neighbors over in Caraway?"
"I do."
"Thank you."
Mr. Ernie Gaddis was on his feet, holding a legal pad as if it were a weapon.
"Say you're in the furniture business, Mr. Pickard?" "Yes, that's correct." "You buy lumber locally?" "We do."
"From whom?" Pickard readjusted his weight and pondered the question.
"Gates Brothers, Henderson, Tiffy, Voiles and Sons, maybe one or two others."
Baggy whispered, "Paget owns Voiles."